just like tests, exams in high school. Wing
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was the same way. It was such a rare time. Essays, screw it. Just whatever came out of my head, just go.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Oh, yeah.
I can believe that.
All right, enough of that. So, right. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Hello, world. Hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome back, listeners. Finally, the next season of the Happy Hour. We're in season 4 officially, if you can even believe it. And we're going to hit the ground running because we have ourselves a great guest tonight. But first, we're going to start with ourselves. My name is David Oje. I'm at MetalDave02 on Twitter.com, joined as always by Beth.
Hello. I'm at HIVERHUIT on Twitter.
Nice. And Veronica.
Yeah, I'm at CHILE_Pepper on Twitter.
And joining us tonight, we have former NHL scout, author of Valley Snapshots, and the annual Recruits NHL Draft Guides, both of which can be found on recruits.ca. We have the founder of Recruits on the line with us, Grant McCagg. Grant, how are you doing today?
Hey.
Hey.
And I'm a GrantMcCagg.
On Twitter.com. That is correct. Easy to find Grant McCagg. Not too much mystery finding him online. So, my lord, the past week has been such a crazy week, mostly because of, we have a modified schedule for the draft going right into free agency, and we're still dealing, I believe, with the fallout of it. As far as the Habs concerned, you know, we'll talk draft in a bit, but the big news that today, I believe, would be the signing of Tyler Toffoli. What a get for the Habs.
Yes.
Didn't get Taylor, but we settled for Tyler.
Exactly.
I'll
just
take it.
Chop off a vowel and go. Grant, you called me out on Twitter pretty excessively with my thoughts on Taylor Hall. I'm just going to leave it at that. You didn't miss anything. It's okay. My opinion, to put it correctly, is that I am fine without having Taylor Hall.
So am I. Me. Very fine.
That isn't how you worded it, but yeah. Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, you are. Tidying it up a bit.
Yeah.
Are we censored here? I didn't remember that the last time, but
we're not.
I didn't figure.
Oh, no.
You know,
we couldn't.
You're not going to censor yourself, right? So there you go.
Never.
No, that was great news today. The more I thought about it, I didn't know that if they go for a score necessarily that wasn't that big, but Toffoli's almost 200 pounds and he plays more of a two-way game than Hoffman. I'm glad that it was Toffoli instead of Hoffman.
Yes.
I think he plays a better game, more of a style that Claude Julien's going to like. And I think he'll contribute. I think he'll work if he ends up playing with Kotkaniemi. I think that might end up being a nice duo there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, agreed with that as well. And of course, that's conversely to the whole talk about Taylor Hall. And I was just, of all the teams for him to end up would be the Sabres. And it came from such left field. Like, nobody had the Sabres even, in their conversations. Then it's announced and 1 year for $8 million bucks. Holy cow. With no trade clauses in as well, I think. If the Sabres are going to try something, they're going to try something. I guess they're going to see if him and Eichel have some chemistry together. But what a weird situation it is, I think, for the Sabres. Because what are they going to do after that year's up? Or even at the trade deadline?
Right. Well, I think what they're hoping and what maybe Taylor's hoping is that they do well and that they're in the playoff hunt and that he, you know, he's obviously going to hope that he bounces back playing center in the league in Eichel, and hope that, you know, that they end up offering him an extension. And I think he signed it with the intent on signing long term with Buffalo. I really do, as long as the season goes well. But the way I think I had it explained to me by a couple people on Twitter, and I don't follow the, you know, all of the financial ins and outs as closely as some, but something about escrow and something else, that he was better off signing only a 1 year deal this year, and on his next contract, all of those taxes, extra taxes and deductions will not be there. So he was smart to go. I think he decided on Buffalo short term and long term, unless things go south, and then he can be traded at the deadline, right, to a contender. Right. Either way, he's going to likely play in the playoffs or just miss the playoffs with Buffalo if they keep him, type thing, I think. So the deeper I looked into it, and I think that they're going to make a play for Fleury. I just have a feeling that Fleury, you know, he went to Vegas once, and, you know, an up and coming team, and he's still not that old for goalies, you know, for elite goalies. And he'll say, yeah, I'll come to Buffalo. You know, they'll have three former first overall picks, you know, a second overall pick, a third overall pick, and some good young players coming. And I don't know if they'll necessarily win this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if they picked up Fleury and maybe another defenseman that, you know, they're going to be in the thick of the race this year. Mm-hmm. And so if that happens, a lot of excitement there, you know, the crowds are going to be, just like the Bills. They're going to, you know, everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon. And,
they'll try to
re-sign Hall if they're in the playoff hunt and see where it goes from there. But I mean, it surprised all of us. I agree. Like, you know, but Taylor Hall is a bit of a funny cat. And, you know, I didn't say it on Twitter, but I was going to say that, you know, expect the unexpected. That's why I even thought that he might end up signing with Montreal, even though none of these other big guys ever do. They never end up doing it. But Hall's such a different cat that it could have gone either way. It was either Montreal or somebody that you didn't friggin' even think about, probably. And that's what ended up happening.
There it is. Yeah, absolutely true.
What is the deal with that player? He's such a mystery to me. With all of the bad rumors going around about him in Edmonton, then he goes and wins the Hart in New Jersey, and then the following year he gets traded, and apparently nobody was too sad about it. Like, what is the deal with this player?
He's always been a little bit, even in his draft year when he went first overall, it was the guy that the scouts had the most issue with his character, even then, you know. He's always been a little bit, I don't know, just a little immature or whatever. I mean, he's posted tweets that ended up getting deleted pretty quickly. You know, he did one in Edmonton, and, you know, just he's marches to the beat of a different drummer, you know. So, I mean, in that regard, I guess maybe it's good that, you know, he didn't sign with Montreal.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I can only imagine, given the current climate of things up until today, when the Toffoli signing pretty much united the whole entire Twitter sphere of Habs social media, which is so crazy. I've never experienced it before. Because as it is, it's such a surprising signing, because for the first time as general manager, Bergevin went over the cap, which means that there's definitely more coming before the start of the season. So that's quite a thing.
Yeah, I mean, how many 30 goal scorers has he signed as free agent? You know, somebody that scored 30 goals. So, you know, there's been Sherratts and Nalsners, and I mean, you know, we signed a 5-goal scoring defenseman, or, you know, but he actually went out and he got a 30-goal score. That hasn't happened too often. And I mean, I love the price too, you know, for somebody that was on pace for 29 goals last year, 4.25 mil. You know, 28 years old. It's not like he's over the hill. Like it was a good timing with nobody offering big contracts right now to be able to sign a guy like this.
The second best part of that deal is that Canucks fans are really mad. Yay! Finally, for once it's not us.
Yeah.
They're mad.
Yeah, and Toronto. I'm more worried about Toronto. I'm a little closer to Toronto than you are. You seem to, you know. you have to deal with Vancouver a little more so than we do. But Toronto got rid of a couple of talented wingers, and Montreal's picked up a couple of talented wingers. So that's all good.
Yeah, it's not only with the talented wingers, but also big guys, more meat on them too. On offense or on the decor as well. Names we got.
Oh my god.
Yeah, right. So we got Edmondson in. Of course, Jake Allen and Nett too. That's pretty big by itself, having somebody that has a pedigree backing up Price for the first time in his career, I think. Let's see what else we got.
Yes.
And of course, Anderson as well. So just a lot of new characters. Characters that have experience in the NHL, and I think it's going to be quite a thing to see how the center position with the Habs right now are going to be able to mix and mingle with all the new characters. And you know, that's also to say on defense with Romanov coming up too. It's going to be a fascinating training camp, depending on who ends up still being on the Habs, because you know, as mentioned, I think the Habs are under 300,000 on the cap, so it's like barely, you know, barely over. But even so, it's going to be a very interesting off season compared to, you know, say last year or the year before, even.
Yeah, you're asking me this. Okay, I want Beth to weigh in there. She hasn't said too much.
Oh, far. She dropped.
Poor Beth.
For a
she actually dropped from the call. I just pulled her back in silently.
Okay.
For some reason, another weird technical thing.
It was my turn to have technical.
So what do you think, Beth?
I feel like this team is like a middle of the road fantasy team, where you're always picking. Huh?
Nothing.
Which, David, like if you've ever played in a fantasy league, like there are those people that always end up picking right in the middle, and you get like this interesting mix of players, and then you watch them during the season, and you're like, oh, this isn't bad. Like this is really fun, and you're able to play around and tinker with your team a bit, and you get to feel like a GM instead of being like, okay, well, I'm always gonna start these people. I'm always going to start these people. You get to have a little more tangibility. And this is like the most excited I've been. Like, I'm always excited for hockey. Hockey is my boyfriend, but this is the most excited I've been for the start of a season in a very, very, very long time. I'm like chomping at the bit to see what happens at training camp, what Claude Julien does with his lines. I'm on pins and needles, on tenterhooks. I'm ready.
Go, Grant.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the trades last week that sort of polarized Habs Nation for about 24 hours until they came around was Josh Anderson.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned Max Domi.
I was like 6'2", 220. I got no problems. Mm-hmm. And then I looked at the highlights. He's like a barrel. He just barrels in, and he's also got hands.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you have to say about him, Grant?
Yeah, he drives to the net like you know, few Habs players that we've seen in the last two or three decades, you know?
Yeah.
He's like a combination of Stefan Richer and Shane Carson. You know,
ooh,
he's got Richer's speed and and Corson's drive to the net. He just doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have Richer's hands. Few guys do, but I mean, you know, right. just that combination of speed and size, you know, and willingness to drive to the net, he's going to score. Pierre McGuire said it well today, you know, when he said like he's going to score different goals than Toffoli. Toffoli's going to score goals with his shot, you know, which mm-hmm. which I think was well needed because Drouin, Suzuki and Kotkaniemi are all playmakers first,
yes.
and we needed a guy that's going to score more goals than that, you know, that shoots first and thinks about pass later. And that's Toffoli. And okay. I think it'll work well on the power play, too.
That is
the, I love it.
That power play, I swear, has to, something has to be better.
Please,
at the power
for the sake of David.
Yeah, it is my.
Okay. Yeah.
I do have a question regarding the power play. Now,
yeah.
is it the players or is it the coach now?
Well, I mean, the coach using Jordan Wheel was, you know, was the coach and it was the player. So, I mean,
yeah.
you know, a little bit of both, you know?
Okay.
I think the coach will look smarter with the better personnel, you know?
Okay, that's fair.
All of a sudden it'll be, oh, that coach, yeah, that power play coach isn't so bad now. Well, it's because you got Jordan Wheel and, it, you know, you don't have Jordan Wheel, you got Charlie Toffoli. Well, yeah. there's yeah. an upgrade, you know?
That
he'll make that power play coach look a lot smarter.
Yeah.
So he said to me today, where is it? It said Jordan Wheel's reign of terror on the power play is over.
Oh no.
I believe.
Well, the one thing I have to give Jordan Wheel credit for is that, man, could that guy skate on his backhand with the puck. I mean, I remember distinctly two plays last season where he would just run a lap on his backhand with the puck and no one would touch him on the power play. I mean, did it help? I'm not sure, but he could do it. And I was very impressed whenever he could, because I figured to myself, I can't do that. I don't watch too many other people do that either, but I digress.
I thought you were going to say that he skates on his back and I
know.
Was
I
was
like, what? Wow.
Incredible stuff. Honestly. Yeah. some breaking news out of the podcast. You know, with the power play, I remember when I was when I did the fantasy camp, right? I was able to talk to Josh Georges a bit, and I asked him about it. I'm like, Josh, if you were Mr. Georges, rather, if you were, you know, there in the team, what would you think is going on with the power play? And he looked completely bewildered because this was in 2019 and they had you know, Drouin, they had you know, all, they had Weber, they had options to use, and like I said, he looked completely bewildered and said, I have no idea, they have all the tools they need and I have no idea what's wrong with it. And I said, oh, okay,
yeah,
thanks for the
input. I've said it the last three off seasons going, oh yeah, well, the power play is going to be good this year. You know, the power play is going to be good this year. Mm-hmm. And I think what they needed and they haven't had is the guy that can find the open spaces and he'll shoot the puck. And that, I think, will be Toffoli. That's really right. His. And Anderson can hopefully bring, you know, can open up some space, probably be on the second power play unit, I think. But he'll help that unit, too, you know. Get to the front of the net, bang in some goals, get the pucks in the corners, and I think it's lack movement. Like the problem is, they only really had one shooter, and it was Weber on the point, and teams would study film all the time, and they notice that, okay, well, their plan is to get the puck back to Weber. Well, you need more than one shooter on the power play.
Yeah.
You know, you need two options for that, and Toffoli will be the second option now. And that, I think, will really open things up where they can't lean towards cutting off the pass to Weber all the time. There'll be two guys that they've got it, and then there'll be another guy open, right? So he'll get open, it'll get down to Drouin, they'll come to check Drouin, Drouin will get to Toffoli or to Weber and more goals. That's what I'm hoping, but I think it'll involve more movement, more passing, too stationary, you know, it just seems to always be the problem. And part of that is Weber's not, you know, he's a lot of things, but really not agile.
What? He scored on the wraparound.
Well,
no, you know, like left to right, like walking the line and stuff. He's a big guy that, you know, he's not moving, finding the lanes all the time. He blasts it, right?
Yeah, he just fires.
you know, and hopefully Toffoli will open up some space for him to fire it a little more, where they're not, you know, checking Weber and cutting off his shooting lanes as much, because they'll have to also keep an eye and be close to Toffoli, because if it's not Weber that's going to score, then it'll be Toffoli. So I really think that will help the power play in that regard.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
We really need a power play.
We really need a power play.
Oh, boy.
It can be 20%, and it'd be better than the past 3 years, I'm telling you. We just need a little bit. That's it. Don't need anything.
And, you know, 5-10% better save percentage in the backup goalie that can win.
Oh, my God.
Five games.
That's playoffs the right there.
Right there. It is.
That's it.
I think this team's a playoff team. It's got the, you know, certainly on paper. I don't see this team. It's got character. It's got skill. It's got scoring. It's got playmaking. It's got good young players. It's got size. You know, that blue line is going to punish people. And I don't think there's going to be any games with the Canadians that aren't in it, you know. And that they're going to be tough to beat. So I see them being, you know, top six, top eight. All year. I really do.
Super.
Everyone knows my enthusiasm and love for this team, but honestly, this is the first time in 10 years that I've been this excited. It's particularly because we started off by getting a bona fide backup. You pretty much a second starter. That is so important. And even 10 years ago, that team was mostly Carey Price.
Mm-hmm.
When he had his phenomenal year.
Carey's had some slow starts.
Yes.
You know, in recent years. And they had no answer, right? They had to keep playing Price because there was nothing else, no one else to win.
Exactly.
And this year, if Price has a slow start in October, well, not October, but you know what I mean. Normal October or normal November. Yeah. they have someone else who can go in for even two or three games till Price gets his head. And Price is so competitive. You know, what do you think happened? The other guy plays two or three games. You not think he's going to be focused and sharp the next time he's out there. So I think it's actually a good thing for him to have some competition. You know, some
Yes, it is. Yeah. Very exciting. And just this cast of characters. You know, there was a lot of speculation about players that were available that, you know, some Habs fans coveted that I was actually really worried about. And so I'm actually really relieved that we ended up with Tyler Toffoli. Yeah. And yes.
Yeah.
Very much.
The Habs know him well. I mean, Trevor's home base team is that all 67, so he scouted Toffoli a pile in his draft year. He liked
apparently
him. He
they tried
liked
to trade for him last year.
Else. Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. Trevor and I liked Toffoli more than anybody else on the scouting staff in 2010. it was my last year with the club, and I actually had him higher than anybody, but ended up taking Tenorti. But he actually has been at a few of the, you know, the combines that Montreal holds every year. Mm-hmm. They have the regular scouting combine, and then the club would hold a combine. Toffoli's been there to help out at the last few combines in Montreal. So the team, Trevor knows him well. The team knows him well, knows his character, knows you know, what a solid citizen he is. And yeah, I think I know Hoffman even better, being in Ottawa and scouting him in junior and the whole works. Like, you know, he was let go by two junior teams because of attitude. Mm-hmm. He had his feud with Carlson. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, that was, and a lot of things. It just rubs people the wrong way. I just didn't want anything to do with Hoffman. And that's the other side part of this. Getting to Philly means we're not getting Hoffman. And
yes.
That pleases me quite a bit. And I think maybe that's who you were talking about without actually saying it, Verona.
That's right. I was trying to artfully omit. It's trying to, yeah. Thanks, Grant, for saying what I was thinking.
Yeah, no problem.
And he's also a bad judge of character if he's with that. Ugh, anyway, so it's not our problem. So that's all good.
Perfect.
Yeah, Berkis, not my monkeys.
Yeah.
As they say in Poland. What do they say?
What did you say?
They say in Poland,
monkeys,
they say, not my circus, not my monkeys.
Oh,
I love
in
that.
Poland. Okay.
Yeah.
Poland. Okay.
Is Poland?
Well, if I'm ever in Poland, I'll.
I don't know what they're supposed to say. I've never been. I'd love to go to Poland. Looks beautiful. Yes.
Road trip. It must be nice being able to go places.
Soon, David. Soon.
Dang it. That's a fascinating quote. Thank you, Beth. I'm trying to think. So aside from all the free agency stuff, we did have a draft, and well, the Habs picked a few players as a team's, you know, wanted to do during a draft. So the Habs end up picking
and trading a lot of picks.
And trading a lot of picks too.
Only
yeah.
three. Mm. Oh, is it only three? I thought it was more.
Well, I was surprised about one of them. The other two, I'm not smart enough to care about them, but one of them, I thought, why would they do that? So, Grant, in the first round, the Habs picked Caden, I think it's Gooley? Is it Gooley or Gooley? Is it Gooley?
Gooley. Gooley, yeah. Gooley gumdrops.
So, a big defenseman, and I'm wondering, you know, what can you tell us about Caden? Why should we be super amped about him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Caden. Yeah, that's... Well, you call him their goalie, Dave. That'd be good. and just refer to him as Caden. yeah. Well, Mr. Goalie. No. He's. I really like this kid. I think, you know, a lot of scouts that I've talked to had him in their top 10. I was surprised even when I saw a lot of people with their lists where he wasn't in the top 15. And I thought, oh boy, this guy is top. There was 12 prospects for me that kind of were ahead of everybody else. And he was one of them. Like, he was in the top 12. So, to get him at 16, just like, Caulfield the year before, as far as I'm concerned, they both dropped. And that was, like, I think the Habs had him top 10. Well, I know they did. They had him in their top 10. So, you know, just amazing. Like Caulfield, you draft in 15 and 16 and you get somebody in your top 10, you're very happy. He's got top three upside all day. I think at worst, he's a four. So somewhere between a two and a four.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Well, like he'll either be in their top two, or be third or fourth.
Okay.
In the second pairing.
Yeah.
You know.
I forgot he was a defenseman. Sorry.
Oh,
that's
boy.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm filling you in here then.
Yeah.
No, he's like 6. He's like 6'3". Gonna be mean, just like Struble. Montreal, I think, you know, there seems to be a real emphasis on getting sons of bitches back there. You know, guys that are just going to punish you. Like, Romanov is only 6 feet, but he hits, you know, he hits like a ton of bricks. And Struble is built like Adonis. He's just got there was no more of a physical specimen than Struble in last year's draft. And Gouley's got a real mean streak, and he's going to be a big kid too. Montreal's defense for the next, I mean, they already have the Man Mountain, you know, but they're going to, you know, transition. It's not, you know, he's going to be mentoring future Man Mountains for a while here. The Montreal's defense is going to be, wingers are going to not want to go in the corners for the next decade.
We're going to have a
I love it.
Oh, I love it. Call him the owl.
What?
We're going to have the whole mountain range. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who's, somebody has to be the Andes.
Oh, yes, the Andes.
Yeah, the Andes. That'll be important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Brian Burke was saying. He's got a mean streak, and I'm just like, give it to me. Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Love and it. Both Struble and Gouley are great skaters, too. So, you know. And Romanov and Norlander and Harris, and there's I'm really excited about the defensemen they're coming. The Canadians have as good a young defense group that in their prospect pool as anybody. So yeah, I was quite happy with that pick. It's funny, like, you know, as soon as Jarvis went, I kind of had like 13 players, and I said, geez, when you get to 16, if none of these 13 are there, I don't really, I'm not in love with any of the next group. And, but Gouley, and that was with me fully assuming that Gouley was going to go after Jarvis to Toronto. I really thought Toronto, it just seemed like a no-brainer for me. They need a Gouley, and they didn't take him. And I was so ecstatic. It's like, oh, right.
Well,
you know, they passed on what I thought was the perfect player for them, and Montreal got him. So, yeah, quite happy about that.
And it was so great to see how happy his family was. Like, there was one guy who got picked by Edmonton, I think it was.
There was a delay there, I think.
It was clarified that it was a delay, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Still, that was like, oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Enjoy your job, bud. Ooh, buddy.
Oh, no.
You never work a day in your life.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, like, who wouldn't be excited about going to play with McDavid?
Well,
I mean,
exactly.
Obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, there was a delay.
Damn it.
But it seemed a little off there. You're just sitting there. Oh, gee. You know, it's not the Leafs. It's Edmonton, you know?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Good for the Habs picking up a Gouley. Then in the second round, I believe they had three picks, and they went with, they had a pick 47, 48, and they end up picking up a Luke Tuck and a, oh, shoot, is it? Oh, no, I got this wrong. Jan Mysik? Mishak.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I had a chat with Trevor about, you know, how you pronounce it, and I think it's Mishak. You know, I said, well, I wouldn't want to be called my sack, you know?
No!
Yeah, exactly. And I guess he said, yeah, Bergie was joking about that a lot at the draft. And
oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
They picked them in that order.
This kid's got a lot of tools in his bag, as Fergie always does. I guess he'd probably say that about Mysak.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
Have to be a fly on the wall.
I love it.
But I had Tuck in the third round, so I wasn't, you know, doing cartwheels. By that pick, to be honest with you. You know, Montreal liked them, and Trevor swears that two teams tried to move up to get to their pick to take him. So there were teams, I think there was, and I got this confirmed by a couple of scouts, that there was a divergence of opinion. My other scouting friends all had him third, fourth round, but there were people on their staffs that did have him as a second round pick. So I think he was one of those guys where it was kind of, you know, they were hot and cold. And obviously Montreal was hot on him, did a lot of did a lot of background checking. They always, one thing I like about it is Trevor always asks the other guys on the U.S. development team, which guy would you like on your line, you know? And he said that they all said Tuck. So I think they went with a kind of a, I do not see him being higher than a third liner. I think that's his ultimate upside. But when you're picking in the middle of the the second round, you have, you know, you have a good team and you have a lot of, you know, Caulfields and that, where you wouldn't think that this kid would be ahead of him on the depth chart, right? I mean, I think they're looking for a third line kind of guy that can add some sandpaper and size. And, you know, even if he's only a fourth liner, that's still, you know, you're 50-50 chance of even getting an NHL there in the middle of the second round. And so they didn't go for what a lot of teams do, is they kind of go for a boomer bust type guy, you know, could be top six or not play. And the Canadians decide this guy will probably play. It's just maybe it won't be top six. And that's fine. You know, I think that, they needed more prospects with size and grit on the wing. And they not only did that, but they picked up a couple for the team as well. So, you know, in that sense, I think they filled the need. And hopefully he can play for them someday. Now, the Meshack kid, I had him 32nd ranked, so obviously I didn't mind that pick at all. Like, he was I think he may have been the top guy on my draft board when they took him. So you can't complain about that. He does have second line upside. I doubt if he plays there. I think he'll probably be a third line winger if he makes it, but he'll score some goals. You know, I think he can be a 20 goal scorer in the NHL if he puts it all together, and that's a pretty nice pickup in the second round as well. And then trade the other second rounder. You know, a little disappointed. I was maybe expecting a little more with 3 second round picks, you know, but you look at the whole draft, when you look at the draft and you consider, you know, that they picked up the second and the third rounder for next year, that has to be worked into your evaluation of how a team did in the draft. And in that sense, I think they fared pretty well in this draft. I like the idea of them having a second and third, because as you can tell by the off-season news, Bergevin doesn't want to miss the playoffs again. You know, he expects this team to be in the playoff hunt and to be in the playoffs at trade deadline. And he's got more ammo. He's got a second and a third. And as Trevor said to me when I was speaking with him the other day, like, that's good. You need a second round pick to land a rental, you know? Yeah. That seems to be the going rate. So you hate to not have a second round pick, but if you got an extra one, you know, use it if they need a piece at the trade deadline, like, or even Tatar in a second. If Tatar ends up being, you know, I think with the Foley signing that the writing's on the wall with Tatar, I think he's kind of his replacement going forward. That 4-year contract that could go to Tatar is gone to Foley. That would be my instinct on it. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe they can land a really nice piece with Tatar in a second round pick at the trade deadline if they go that route. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I mean, Tatar could have a 30 goal season and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to part with him and think he's part of the playoffs. They, like you said at the start here, there's so many variables. There's so many options. There's so many things that could happen. Like, I don't know who's going to be the second line. I don't know if, you know, will Tatar, Danault, and Gallagher be second line again? Will KK step up? And, like, he might, you know, he might hit a wall again this year and still only, you know, play at a third, or even maybe even halfway through, you want to send him down to the minors again. You don't know for sure. It's there's a lot of unknowns, and it's going to be exciting. I mean, we all think that, did we think that KK, after his rookie year, would end up in the minors. The second year, we didn't, you know. So, got to hold, pump the brakes a little bit on him. Even though he looks so freaking good in the playoffs, let's hope, you know, upward. Yeah, let's hope that it's just onward and upward from here. But, Deneau's not ready to
jump.
Yeah, that's right. And Deneau's not ready for the scrapyard. You know, he's going to want to keep that top two spot. So I think competition is healthy, right? Yeah, he may be whined a little bit after the year, but that's fine too. He wants to be a top two center. Well, I'd rather that than him just saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm not good enough to be a top two center. Well,
exactly.
We criticized it a bit, but he's competitive, so that's good. Prove it. Go out there and prove it. Same with Tatar. Prove that you're still a set, you know, top six in Montreal next year. Well, he was the top scorer on the team. Of course he's going to want to prove it. You know, he's not going to want to play third line. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if you can please all the Eagles, because somebody's going to be playing on the third line that doesn't think that they should be. That didn't work too well with Domi last year. Mm. Let's just hope. These guys got better character, I think, though. Domi's not a bad guy. Don't get me wrong on that. But just, Gallagher's not going to complain, you know?
No.
Regardless. Tatar's not really that. He's a pretty, pretty solid character, too. And so is Deneau. So, I mean, we'll see. But imagine if that's your third line, though, you know? It's quite a third line.
My word. Yeah, exactly.
Embarrassment of riches.
I think you got to look at it. You know, you don't put numbers on these lines. Like maybe the top line, okay, is the top line. I think, and that'll be Suzuki's line. But I think it's more of a, it could be more of a 2A, 2B type thing with those two,
mm-hmm.
the second and third line. And when you've got a contender, that's what you want. You want nine guys that can play. You know, one night it'll be the Tatar line that has more ice time. Next, you know, they're going. The next night it'll be KK's, and there's no real true second line. I think that ideally is what you want. You want a third line that can be called your second line some nights, and vice versa. You know, you want the Deneau line checking that top two line on the other team because they've done it so well the last couple of years. Well, that'll still mean that they get, you know, second line minutes, even if they are sort of considered the third line. So, you know, I don't know that we always want to put a number on the line, but I think ideally you just want three really good solid lines and just, you know, where any one night, any of the three of them can play the most minutes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it seems to be shaping up just like that. Yeah,
I think so.
As said, so many variables.
Can't wait to watch.
And there's a lot of good ones, and that's the thing. Not a whole lot of bad variables, which is the best part about it.
Yes. No, there's nothing. There's nothing bad. Zero.
Like zero.
Ryan Poehling. Like, you know, I'm not putting discounting Poehling. Coming back in shape and with a better attitude and saying, look, I'm playing on the third line with Kotkaniemi and Toffoli. You know, he's got the most potential. Anybody, imagine if he breaks through and they got a third line of those three. I mean, holy frig. Then on the bottom line, you got Lekkonen and Armia and whoever, Evans, you know.
Evans, yeah, probably, yeah.
Poehling self-admittedly showed up out of shape to the bubble. Who does that?
He did?
Poehling.
He did, eh?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I kind of figured he did.
Yeah, apparently.
Well, yeah. Well,
so,
I hope it's Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well. Watching too many Donald Trump videos, you know, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. That's Well, I mean, hey, next season, probably not going to be watching any Donald Trump videos. Let me.
Please, God. Please.
Please, God. Well, Lord
do
Almighty.
They have? Do they? Do they have CCTV at the prisons? Do they have a channel for that?
Do they have the Gorilla Channel?
It makes you wonder. Makes you wonder.
Please, God.
So okay. We only got through the first two rounds of the draft. Was there anybody else that the Habs picked up that you were happy about, Grant? Or are they all just people that you kind of thought would be coming in? Any surprises that the Habs picked up, at least in the later rounds for you?
Yeah, well, I liked their fourth round, you know. Mm. I mean, a month or two ago, they had 2 seconds and three seconds and 2/3, and, you know, they ended up with friggin' two in the second and third. Toronto ended up drafting more guys than them, and at one point, I think Montreal had about 8 more picks than them, you know. So that part of it was disappointing for me. But, no, they picked two kids that I liked, high schoolers, Minnesota. And I was glad they went that route, because especially the one kid that injured most of the year and really flew under the radar. And Trevor was fortunate enough to show up. He came back for the playoffs. He missed like the whole season, basically. And Trevor happened to get to see him on a really good night, and he thought he was really outstanding. You always kind of like to find those gems, right? That there was no other. I asked him, like, were there any head scouts there? And no, it was just about all regional guys, you know. So he got to see this kid when none of the other guys that make the decisions did, and that is encouraging. So I really hope that he's a kind of a gem, a diamond in the rough type thing, you know. Biondi, some people really loved Biondi. He was Mr. Hockey in Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people had him second, third round, kind of 50 to 70. So to pick him up at 109, I think it was, or something like that, was, I thought, yep, it was really good value. And, he's a solid prospect that, you know, the good thing about both those guys is you can wait 4 or 5 years. There's no rush to sign them. They can develop at their own rate. And I think they both have a chance of maybe playing. And I mean, anytime you pick a kid in the fourth round, that's just all you can hope for. I like both those guys. Farrell played on the national junior team for 2 years. I don't know, like, it's someone, you know, oh, I really like somebody on Twitter, I really like this Farrell kid, how high up, you know, what do you think, how high upside? And I said, good age, Eller. And he, oh
wow.
Like, you know, he was all disappointed, you know. But I mean, you got to be realistic with this, you know. I mean, Montreal's got such depth in your past. They've got 10, they picked 10 forwards ahead of him in the last 3 drafts. So, you know, the odds that Sean Farrell will ever play for the Montreal Canadiens is low at best, you know. So to be expecting a 5'8 kid that's picked at 120 in the draft to be a really good NHL prospect, well, no. You just hope that – you hope he maybe can, but, you know, I think the realistic spot for someone like that is you hope that he becomes a good AHLer, and if it's anything more than that, well, it's just gravy, you know.
Brendan Gallagher got picked 147th.
That's right. Yep.
So
Sean Farrell's no Brendan Gallagher. You know. And I mean, Brendan Gallagher got picked when Montreal's top prospect was Louis LeBlanc. So
right. You know,
he didn't have to jump over 12 guys in the depth chart. Within a year, Brendan Gallagher was the best prospect in the, you know, in the Canadiens. And I would bet a pretty large amount that in a year's time, Sean Farrell is not going to be the top prospect in the Montreal's organization.
I hope he surprises you.
Well, you know, you're asking me for my opinion. So.
And you
How dare
give
you,
it.
Veronica? Perfect.
And I got your opinion.
Yeah.
Speaking of late round draft picks, did we want to talk about Charles Udall?
Oh, yeah.
He came out today.
Isn't he getting shipped off over the pond?
He's going to
Switzerland?
Switzerland? Yes, he's going to Switzerland.
Maybe he'll play. Hey, maybe he'll get to play top six.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I thought that he had a qualifying offer. That's the last
did,
I heard.
He did, and then he said no.
He and rejected
he said,
it.
I want to hang out with Mark Barberio.
That's right.
I do miss Barberio's mustache. Oh, man. That guy
yes.
had a face of hair. Very well done.
John Oates.
You miss his mustache.
All right.
Did he used to have cookies in it or something? Or what?
I just remember being in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh,
watching the Ice Caps take on the Wolf Pack. Hartford Wolf Pack down there in the AHL. And Barberio took the ice, and man, it was like something out of the 70s. I was like, holy crap. Had all the hair. Huge
so
mustache.
Dense.
And just,
yeah.
I don't know, I thought Barberio was all right for a bit. And then, Italians
have all the hair.
For sure. For sure. So Hudon and Barberio, good for them.
Yeah.
Playing over in Switzerland.
That's good. Charlie was a tweener. I mean, I've been saying it for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, not quite good enough to play in your top nine and not big enough to play in on your grind line, you know. So just, hey, fifth or sixth round pick that got to play a bit in the NHL, scored some goals and got to salute his friend that passed away there. That was a nice touch and the whole works.
Mm.
So, I mean, you know, I never got to play a game in the NHL. So,
you know,
count his blessings and good luck to him in Switzerland. I hope it's fun playing. Switzerland's a beautiful place to play.
Yeah.
Any guys that I ever talked to that played in Switzerland, they just loved it. The people, the beauty, the scenery, And you know, everything's rent free and tax free, and so he'll make a good buck. He'll make more than he did in the freaking AHL, which is where he would end it up. He'll clear more, and he'll have a great time. And best of luck to him.
And what a beautiful place to raise a family too.
For sure.
For all those things you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of guys that, you know, that were kind of bubble NHLers that. In her late 20s said, no, I'm not going to play in the AHL anymore. I'm going to go play in Switzerland. And they got zero regrets. I think that's a great move for him.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Is he married?
Yes.
He's
got children. He's got like multiples.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. But I think it's perfect. And, you know, a lot of the Swiss speak French and that too. And,
mm-hmm.
If need be, if they want to put them in French schooling, that's certainly possible, possible in Switzerland too. So, cool.
What is it in Switzerland? It's Italian, French, and German?
Yeah.
Yeah, not as much Italian, I don't think. Mostly, but some.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the three languages that they mostly speak are English, French, and German.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But with a touch of Italian. Obviously on the Italian border.
They have four.
German. The hairier Swiss are Italian. What's that? The ones with the mustaches are the Italian Swiss.
Wait, what? What are we talking about?
Mark Barberio. They have four official languages.
Yes.
What German, Romansh,
Romansh,
French, and Italian.
Right.
Okay. German, French, and Italian, and Romansh,
which is a Swiss canton of Grison, mm-hmm. Grisont, and it's spoken in southeastern Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
Ah, those southeastern Switzerland.
A lot of the Swiss can speak English too. But,
yeah, that's all, just like everywhere, right?
Right, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta talk to us, right?
Yeah, I was shocked when I moved back to Chile, just how fluent people are in Chile in English. Because you come here and nobody speaks Spanish unless you were raised in a Spanish-speaking household. It was just kind of blew me away, sort of the how everybody knows how to speak English or can understand most of it or can get by. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody we need everybody to understand us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Donald Trump. What's Trump saying now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure he's saying quite a bit.
Oh, Lord.
From his miraculous recovery.
Anyway.
Well, we actually are coming up on our time. Not the segue. Nope. Oh. But, Grant, it is always, always so nice to have you on. And it's always great working with you. And I was really happy that you were able to come on tonight. We really appreciate it.
First guest of the year.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Of the new season.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I was very nervous coming in.
Sure you were.
I'm sure.
Thanks for that, Grant. Yeah, it has been. Thanks so much, Grant.
Okay.
Don't take any guff.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, bye. That's right. Good night, Grant.
Bye, Grant.
Go Habs.
Yes!
Go Habs!
Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
he's so funny.
That's Grant McCagg, everybody. First Yay! Guest of season four. Sirens.
Four.
That's exactly what I was going for right there. All right, so last week roundup, real quick.
Of Goodbye,
other
Max
things
Domi.
That happened. Yeah, all right. Goodbye, Max Domi.
Goodbye, Max.
Wait, that's different. All right. Carl Olsner, bye.
Oh,
bought
bye,
out.
Carl.
See you later, bye. Now people can
Good
stop
luck.
Bitching about it. Josh Anderson from the Blues for
Hello.
Max Domi. Bye, Max Domi. Thanks for pouting on the wing and not doing anything in the playoffs. Bye.
Yeah.
Noah
Maybe
Juulsen.
Next time.
Me, Noah Juulsen, one-year contract. Hello,
Hello,
Noah. I can deal with that all freaking day. Seven-year contract for Josh
yes!
Anderson. You
he
better
said,
score
I,
goals there, buddy pal. Victor Mete.
Yes.
League one minimum year. 1 year. Okay, that's kind of weird for you there, bud. Good luck with your engagement. Brandon Baddock from New Jersey. League minimum 1 year. Wow.
Oh, I forgot about that Jersey. One. Two-way.
Yeah, good for that guy. Yeah, yeah, 1 year, two-way deal. Xavier Ouellet,
two years
for that guy. Wow, so awesome. How great is
everyone
that?
Everyone time to learn his name.
He looks like a bear. He kind of
does
looks
look
like
a
teddy
bear.
I like
you know,
bears.
Yeah,
the shoulders
do I.
Up,
I like bears.
Comes out of the cave.
Like sort of then, the round bear face.
Yeah,
Chloe likes
bears
too. Our
That's
friend Chloe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Chloe loves bears. Yeah,
Hi, Chloe.
So incredible pictures for hockey from Chloe in the past week. Wow.
Wow.
Good with her and her and her
good
and the
job.
Team.
You should check out Bowling Green.
The Bowling Green Women's Hockey Club.
Yes,
from
they're the
some,
Hawks.
The Falcons?
Falcons? They're on Google.
They are a bird that is a predator.
a peregrine falcon.
Ooh.
Yeah. Really?
So it's either Hawks or Falcon. I think we can agree.
Just follow Chloe.
Yeah, just follow Chloe.
So
she's
awesome.
At Bear Youngs.
What are you even doing?
And she's at Bear Youngs on Twitter, and she runs the Bowling Green Women's Hockey Twitter account as well.
Oh,
yeah.
She's working really hard to grow support for women's
college
hockey.
Okay, everybody follow that.
Yeah.
And we should all support women's hockey because women's hockey is fucking awesome.
Yes, it is. Support women and hockey.
Support women.
And
period.
Women
support women.
Sports.
Yes.
I agree. Also, the Habs signed Tyler Toffoli today for 4 years. Do you know that Josh Anderson is the longest contracted forward for the Habs right now? Kind of crazy.
And Gallagher, what's going on?
Well, they got to sign him next year. And we have zero money. Welcome to the cap crunch, Habs fan. $0. We are in the red for the first time.
What it's like to be Las Vegas?
In like a decade. Could you imagine being Vegas right now, signing Alex Pietrangelo for like 12 years and $8 million? How many $8 million contracts do they have over there? Contracts do they have? I'm trying to look it up.
They are
further in the red than we are. They have, oh my God, Mark Stone, $9.5 million. William Karlsson, 5.9. Max Pacioretty, $7 million.
Oh, they were trying to trade him.
Happening. Yeah. Good luck.
Ready. I predict that Max Pacioretty is going to go to Chicago.
I think he's going to be the captain of the Kraken.
Ooh.
We didn't even talk about it. Expansion draft. That's happening literally next year at some point.
Well, we have time to get Grant back on.
Yes, we do. And okay, now we're out of time.
Mascots are Freddie and Frida Falcon.
Who?
So they're
the mascots for Bowling Green. They're Freddie and Frida Falcon.
Are they married?
Massacre. Bowling Green
massacre.
It's not
a real massacre.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah. That was that came from Kellyanne Conway, whose daughter Claudia.
Oh my God, she's
the hell out of her every day, and I'm here for it.
She's the deep throat of 2020.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I do not know if they're married. It does not say.
Well, what the hell?
But they're very.
I'm going again.
Kellyanne and George.
Chloe. No.
Oh, no. Freddie and Frida Falcon. Sorry.
Bowling Green, the fake masker, please.
So is this who I'm looking at here? Bowling Green Falcons?
Yes.
Are there
the
jerseys?
NCAA requires our players. It's all orange.
Yes.
Yes.
Those look like men.
Wait, hang on. Just Google Bowling Green mascot.
Okay.
And they'll pop right up.
Bowling Green mascots. Oh my goodness, so cute.
Right?
Freddie and Frida. Bowling Green Falcons. Okay, I'm going to follow them.
Here are the Falcons. They are a predatory bird. Good for them. And good job on the first episode of the season, everybody.
Good job! Season 4, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us.
Thanks. For sticking like
stickers.
Oh, and please, we are going to unveil new artwork.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks on your Marcus.
Yes.
Twitter.com.
At Marky Mark.
At Marky Mark.
Is it on your Marcus? Is his at on your Marcus, or is that his name?
His at is on your Marcus, and his
on your Marcus with a K.
Who works for us? He doesn't, honestly.
He does volunteer work for us.
Yes.
He's so nice and so amazing. And if you need anything designed, please hire
him.
Pay him to design your stuff, because he does really good work.
He does
really
beautiful
fast.
Work.
Yeah. Really fast. He designed our current logo. He did a new logo for us. And just, like, he's really good.
He's really good.
And
he's
great. Like, he offered us options.
Yes.
It was like a
buffet.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was like a buffet of options.
Yeah, profile. Whoops.
So we're going to have new artwork. And thanks to Mark on your Marcus, at on your Marcus on Twitter, who's been a listener since day one.
At Mark underscore eat underscore Mark. Mark eat Mark. That is now his new handle.
Oh, he changed it.
Saving it in the profile. And yeah, that's it. Now we have to go.
Yes. Okay, now
bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.